Hey, well, welcome. This is Dave. I had trouble getting into my own conference line. I hope you guys are doing great. I look forward to our reunion. Let's begin with saying hi. Any wins, progress notes, check-ins? Who all's here? I see that a bunch of you are here. Again, my apologies for stumbling and getting to our call. Who's got something? Go for it.
This is Carol Huff. I'm. How are you doing?
Doing great.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Well, I'm settled now in College Station. I have a new house. I've been in the process of moving in, and am working.
I gotta ask, what part of College Station are you in?
I'm not exactly sure how to explain it since I'm still kind of new, but.
Okay.
I'm actually I think east of the university.
Okay. The reason I ask is we have a little house in Bryan because my wife is going through a PhD program there and she needs to do work and research and teaching through the week. So we are also residents of sorts there. So welcome to Texas, and you're obviously just down the road a piece. So that's exciting.
I am. I'm on the other side of Wellborn Road.
Yeah. So a good thing coaching practices are portable. So how is that transition going?
Well, it's still working on. I'm still developing it, but getting some things started on social media a little bit and working on getting a blog going. So I'm making progress a little bit, but I'm going forward.
Great. And remember, one of the major benefits that we can experience in our quarterly mentor groups is to use the group as a mastermind group. So any questions that any of you have that you'd like to distill the wisdom of the really esteemed people in our group, we'll spend some time so that each of you can ask the questions you have and get responses from people in the group. So keep that in mind. That's, a major benefit in addition to the success stories. So thanks, Carol, and welcome. That's great.
I appreciate the reminder, too. Thank you, Dave.
Yeah, absolutely. Who else?
Hi, Dave. This is Erica.
Hey, Erica.
Tell us
your full name.
How are you?
And what kind of coaching you do so that we'll recognize it when we look at the registry, which I'm sure you're on, for individual and corporate referrals, which is a good reminder. Go ahead, Erica.
Well, and thank you for the reminder, because I have not yet done that. So I'm Erica Ledke-Pembroke, and I am currently a life coach working with a weight loss and fitness company. And I would say the biggest win for me so far is that I've actually gotten two private clients from that work with the company, which has been wonderful.
Congratulations. Sounds like you're
just getting started,
but you've got the
I am just getting started, absolutely. But I've through this process, I have realized that the weight loss community, although it's very I love the work, I'm finding that I'm resonating with clients kind of outside of that. So I'm really kind of starting to realize that the new life story system and me going into my private practices, I'm needing to hone that in a little bit more to start really kind of shifting over to be able to work on my own. So, but yes, I have to do all of those wonderful things that I have not yet done through New Life. So I am on the road to do that.
Well, that sounds great. Thanks. There's some, as you I'm sure know, there's some fascinating research that I hope to contribute to as well that's coming out of the whole aspect of habit transformation that I think can be very applicable to some of the things that you're doing. So I think you're in an exciting area.
Great. Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Sure. And welcome. Who else?
Hello, Dave. This is Joe Erskine.
Hey, Joe, how you doing, my man? What's going on?
I am wonderful. Thank you. Yes. So, yes, for everyone else, I haven't been on a call in a while, but my name is Joe Erskine, and I'm with a lifestyle mentor coach And Dave, an update to what we talked about before September is that I've been making significant progress with my action plan that I gave you, and I actually working on a contract with the local with three local YMCAs to do diabetes coaching through their resource center.
Outstanding, outstanding. I think that's really really exceptional. Are you finding the roadmap system helpful in what you're doing with the application that you're having?
Yes, it will. It will fit right in perfectly.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that I think increasingly that we know that it's not the goal, but the system to focus on. And each of you has a system that I think can be significantly productive. And when someone has a goal but focuses on the system and the steps of the system and the algorithms of mind and brain keep that system in focus and aligned with how our brains work, I think can be very beneficial. So thanks, Joe. That's great. Anything else going on that you want to mention?
November is Diabetes Awareness Month, so almost every day this week and throughout the month, I'll be actually facilitating diabetes courses at the public library. So that's the other great thing that's helped me to get the YMCA contract and I'm hoping for other good coaching projects coming through that.
Joe, if you could reduce to one succinct sentence a best practice that allowed you to be most successful in the applications and the contracts that you have, what would you say to our group?
Oh, you know, that's hard for me to do.
And I'm going to come back and ask Erica the same thing, but go ahead, Joe.
Okay. What I did was I went out to the community and did some community-free diabetes coaching classes, and through that, my clientele were in those classes, which they told other people like the YMCA and the library, and they contacted me, and that's basically how I got was able to win my contract.
So you used an educational approach, but to the prime group that you were interested in working with and exposed yourself.
Yes, exactly. Couldn't say it no better than that.
Great advice. Absolutely. Erica, what is the best practice that you would distill in a single sentence for your success to pass on to our group?
Oh, boy. That is also very difficult for me to do. The one sentence is very challenging. I would say what I have learned so far is that what I'm resonating with are I'm guiding women who are 40 and older through transitions to become more resilient and less overwhelmed.
Okay, now I hear your hub statement. What is your best practice about how you've practically done that to glean your clients that you already have?
So best practice is that saying like how I'm actually –
yeah, what do you
doing
what
do?
You
I do or?
Yeah, what do you do for payday?
What I do for payday?
no matter how much they are reluctant to admit it, everyone on this call and who will be listening to the recording know that that is a bottom line. We have ideals. We have identity. We want to provide benefits and service, but we also have to have the benefit that reflects in how we're paid because that's a value. Go ahead.
Yes. So, oh, gosh. I'm not quite sure, Dave.
We can come back, and you can jump in at any time and add a best practice as long as it's, you get only 7 words the second time, okay? Okay.
That sounds fair.
All right.
Hey, you know, but I wanted to say one more thing, that I'm actually going to be taking the ICHWC certifying exam on Saturday.
Great.
For
okay.
the health and wellness coaching. So
great.
I'm super happy about that. So thank you so much.
Super. You heard the recording, I guess, from last Mentor Coach group about the tips that Jamie Meyer gave and the
yes,
whole, all right,
phenomenal.
Well,
yeah, thank you.
I think that's terrific. So congratulations on that. There are, as you know, only a handful of programs, mostly academic ones, that are accredited that you can set. So fortunately, we're one of them. So that's terrific. Thank you. And who else? What's going on? Wins, progress notes, questions for the group. I know you guys are out there. Come on, say hi.
Hi, Dave. This is Maria Turner.
Hey, Maria. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Great.
So one of the wins is, you know, I've got three steady clients, and I work with women who are in transition. And so it's been great, and I've been getting a lot of actor clients lately. So it's, you know, it's pilot season, so I haven't had a lot of time to put into the coaching business because it's crazy. Like, literally, I just tried to go out the door and stuff's flooding in. So it's trying to find the balance between the two, and I love each one passionately. So, you know, I don't want to give one up versus the other, but yeah, it's been working, and I've been using word of mouth and social media to get my clients.
Terrific. That's great. And I think that's an area that is really ripe for mentor coaching to work with performing professionals, actors, pro athletes. As you know, it's an interest of mine. I think it's a tremendous contribution when you can do that. And I'm sure each of you have seen the teleseminar series that I'm doing beginning today at 7 p.m. through CTA. It's the initial CTA offering of peak performance and stress mastery about optimizing performance. And it's the beginning of something that will be a book, a training, a whole application for exactly what you're saying, to look at optimizing peak performance. I think it's an area that we can uniquely contribute to in coaching. So that's great. It'll be interesting to hear how you evolve and develop that. What's your next, in one succinct sentence, what is your next step to evolve your coaching practice to apply it to actors?
Ooh.
Right, that's one word already. You got nine left.
I will use social media to bring in more actors. I just find that that's how they communicate.
Okay. And for any of you, you know, we've talked before about when you approach an organization, and thanks again to Kay McConney, who may be on the call. I give her yet another nod about developing an internal champion with an organization. One of the things that I've found in a situation like yours, Marie, to look at, where are the gatekeepers? Where are the ecosystems and the watering holes where people congregate? But particularly, who are the gatekeepers, the referral sources? For a situation like this, it's the agents. The agents have access to any number of people, and the agents, more than anyone else, probably even the potential client, knows how much that person needs mentor coaching. You know, think about the, even though it's been a long-standing evolution and process, but sometimes payday can occur instantly. And the experiences that I've seen, when somebody goes from 0 to 60 million in about 5 seconds, and pro athletes, they more than anyone need work with a mentor coach to really regulate, mm-hmm. to balance. And you know, one of the chapters, one of the areas in my new work and research is about how to handle extreme success. It's one of the things that we do in coaching. And the lead-off quote of that chapter is from Keith Richards. He said, fame has killed a lot more guys than money.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry. Fame has killed a lot more guys than drugs or alcohol.
That was quote. Yeah.
So it's the adaptation to extreme success that is something where we particularly have something to offer, and that can be in any number of performing and practicing professionals, practicing in terms of, you know, docs, attorneys, you know, whole, but the performing professionals especially, we often see it more extreme because they haven't had the nickels and dimes worth of adaptation to it, and then suddenly they have to deal with something that there's no map for. You know, there is no model about how to do that, and that's where we can offer significant benefits. So just to think about. So thanks for sharing that.
I just wanted to say one more thing. Yes, I do use managers, talent managers, only because I am a talent agent, they don't really want to talk to me because they're afraid their clients will come over to my side. So, but I have been reaching out to talent managers, and you're right, absolutely right. That is a good way because most people that have managers are kind of, a lot of them are floundering and are trying to get an agent. So, you know, that is very helpful.
Then a way to begin, and you've heard me say this to people who will collaborate with and develop as a referral source back and forth, healthcare professionals, such as a therapist. When you develop a referral source as a therapist, you begin by talking about what coaching is and what it isn't to assure that person that you're not going to steal a patient, and look at how they can best refer to you and vice versa. When you start out as a mentor coach and assure somebody that you're not going to steal their client in terms of agency, you know, that may be your best referral source. So just saying. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Well, thanks. Thanks very much. Exciting stuff. Who else? What you got?
Hi, David. It's Amy Haller.
Hey, Amy. Speaking of professional tennis, and how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm losing my voice, though, today, so I'll do the best I can. I really enjoyed that peak performance course that you did. And I was using some of it the other day at a workshop, and I have a question for you because I think it's really valuable. If I wanted to try to promote it and get some more business, because I really like working in colleges with teams, do you think the best way to go about it would be to go to athletic directors or coaches of the teams? I just wanted to kind of get your opinion on how you
think.
Okay, all
right, great question. What do you want to promote? Do you want to promote a program, a training, or individual mentor coaching? And would it be of the coach or of the athlete?
Those are all good questions. Well, what I do now
is... Each would be different is why I'm asking.
Right. Well, what I'd like to do is I guess it would be more like a program so that I could get in with the team and keep getting in, you know, for 5-6 sessions with them interspersed throughout a couple of months.
Okay. So do you want to develop a program that you would then offer?
Yes.
Okay. You it's not that you would want to use the one I've developed. But
I think I could use the one that you developed.
Okay, well, here's a possibility. And this is an offer to anyone who would like to co-present. I'll be happy to do that. We could do, like, a teleseminar series, probably even better. Within maybe 2 weeks, I will have that series that you heard, the Peak Performance and Stress Mastery, converted into a webinar. So it's a four-part webinar with a downloadable outline and the four 45-minute segments that can be co-branded with any one of you, or could be co-branded or white-labeled for an organization or even licensed for an organization. If you want to, for example, Amy, get it, you know, offer it as something that could be licensed to an athletic program, then we can both benefit with license fees, for example, or however you'd like to apply it, and then you do all of the coaching from that. So whatever is going to be most helpful to develop your practice, we can do that. And it sounds like a great idea, and it sounds like an interesting kind of possibility for introduction. Now, does that really address your question?
Yes, it really does, because that's the avenue that I want to go in. That's what I enjoy doing the most, and I just get so much satisfaction out of working with teams in colleges. And, you know, it's performance training. That's what it is.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So, but I haven't found a great way to, you know, market it. But if this was, you know, the real program as a webinar or something that we could, you know, do together, I think that would market itself.
I will send you that, and you're familiar with the material, and it's basically the same material set to webinar by my IT guy. I'll send you that as soon as it's ready, and you can see what you think.
Will there be workbooks also for people?
I have exercises that are included in the outline. It's an annotated outline, and you saw those at the back
right.
of the outline.
Right, yeah, I have those.
That's the next step. That's the next step to develop a training. The NeuroMentor Peak Performance Institute is what I'm calling it.
Wow.
And there will be a training, there will be a workbook, but probably the workbook would be first, and I'll let you know as soon as that's ready, but it's not in the next month or so, because I have a couple of other problems. But it's in the hopper, basically.
Okay. Well, I'm
so
really
you,
interested.
You would probably want a workbook as part of that, not
right.
just a series of exercises.
Yeah, that would be great.
Okay.
Thank you, David.
Sounds great. Yeah, sounds super. Thank you. And congratulations on all that you're doing.
Oh, well, thank you. Thanks
That's
for
great.
Your help.
This is a tennis program?
Well, I'm working with the men's and women's tennis team at St. Joe's, but I've done other workshops with, you know, lacrosse teams and squash. So it could be any sport. It doesn't have to be tennis.
Okay.
But I have an in, you know, at this university, and there's so many colleges and universities right near me in Philadelphia.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I just want to nudge each of you to think about the applications that may be possible. You know, I was nudged to think about this just recently. I was contacted by Columbia Medical School. They are initiating a whole program, and actually a degree program, in narrative medicine, and they're interested in New Life Story Wellness and just the whole story aspect of medicine and the roadmap system of really deconstructing the elements of a story. So I want to encourage you to think about the applications that you can find for what you're expert at, what you're licensed and specially certified in, because this is what's exciting to me, to see what kind of things you guys are coming up with and what you're doing with it. And as always, if I can be of help to you, you better let me know. I really hope you will, and I'll be happy to do that. So thanks again, Amy.
Thank you, David. Thank you so much. Okay, great.
Who else? But one at a time. What are you up to? I know there are a bunch of you on the call. Some of you are just lurking.
The lurkers always make life exciting.
Yeah. Anybody else want to check in or do a win or progress note or just simply say hi? What about then, any question for the group that you'd like the development of our group wisdom to address in terms of any challenges or any aspects of what you're doing that you'd like us to talk about?
This is Carol. Hi.
Carol, and then someone else after you.
Oh, okay. Well, the other one can come in first because I've already talked a little bit.
First, and we'll come back.
Okay. What I'm developing is a way to work with caregivers who have been taking care of perhaps a spouse or a senior parent. That loved one has passed on, and now they are left without kind of like, where do I go from here? You know, finding a purpose beyond their loss. And so I know the principles of the New Life, because I've gone through that. So the principles of New Life Story are definitely something that are totally in what they need. And in developing, you know, a way for them to go forward, you know, to kind of find a way what gets me out of bed in the morning and keeps me going. So I was wondering if there were any possible suggestions about where do I begin besides with, you know, this is my blog, this is my story, this is my, who would I, like locally, within the community, go further than that? Where is a good place to start with this and then keep going forward?
Okay, great question. What do you think, group? What are your suggestions to Carol?
This is for people who've already lost the person they're taking care of, not during the process, right?
Right, right. They have lost. Yes, the person has died, and now, because caregiving can be such an intense, you put yourself into it. You know, you take care of their meals, their laundry, their medicine, their, you know, every aspect of, you know, you kind of give your life for theirs in a way. I mean, you sublimate your life, you know, to what they're doing, and they're always your first priority. So then when that person is no longer with you, when that person has died, it's not just grief, although grief is a part of it. And I, it's not to just be, you know, coaching them through grief, but also where do I go beyond the grief? Who am I now? What is my purpose?
So your question specifically is, who do you go to market this, to let people know what you do? Is that your question to
Yes.
move? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So thoughts about that, anyone?
Have you connected with hospice at all?
I haven't, thank you, I need to get a grip, I need to find, since I'm fairly new to the area, I haven't gotten into, to too many places, so I'm just going to write the thoughts down. I appreciate that, hospice.
Hello,
yes.
This is Nora. Hello.
Yes, Nora.
I would suggest I'm in the Bay Area, and I know that in the Bay Area there are many organizations that provide in-home care services for the people that you're talking about, in home care, caregivers that are provided and paid for. But the organizations also provide many other services that those people might need. And
uh-huh.
I would think that they would be very interested in also providing services after the loved one has died.
Okay.
I would search in-home care and look for organizations in your area and then contact them and look at their websites and see what they're already providing and contact them and speak to the director or the managers and see if you can, they could refer people to you, or they may employ you directly. I don't know. I don't, you know.
Okay. Okay. I was thinking of offering, you know, some, you know, just some, also, you know, some in-person presentations, perhaps in the local area. Okay.
Hey, Dave, this is Lisa Manioki.
Hey, welcome.
Yes, Lisa.
Hi, how are you? You know, it was raining like crazy on the skylight, so I didn't want to speak up, but to whomever was just speaking, I have very deep roots in senior living for a long time clientele, so I will be out happy to speak with you after this call or another day about some potential resources. It's not only hospice, but the senior living communities who have caregivers that are bringing their folks are coming into assisted living or long-term care. There's a lot of transition that goes on. So senior living communities, hospice, the Alzheimer's Association is known for being embedded in communities with caregiving. So there are lots of avenues to market. And I'll be happy to talk with you and even pass along some names.
That would be great. Thank you.
All right, so Dave, I'll send you my number to pass along.
Okay, that's great.
Okay. And also to whoever was speaking about athletics, give me that person's name too, because my daughter's at St. Joe's, and I have some connections to athletics in there and also to Drexel.
Well, that would be Amy Haller. I'll connect you guys.
Thank you.
And that's exactly a way I believe to go about thinking about developing this, is to look at the leveraged opportunities, the gatekeepers, the referral resources in an area for people who have a portal to the people who you would most want to work with and the groups you would most want to work with, because this is an area that's ripe for group coaching as well and can be done by telephone.
Right.
So a number of healthcare services, insurance, nursing home, hospice, intermediary care, hospitals, senior living, a whole number of things. Look for the gatekeepers, because that's where you can really leverage your time and impact. So one other thing to think about is, how are you going to keep your continuing education? Can I get a mute? There's some noise being picked up that you probably aren't hearing. Yeah, thanks. How do you develop your expertise and continuing education in any area that you want to do? One way is to simply do a blog, because that has at least a dual purpose, because when you're doing Google alerts and getting daily information from anywhere in the world of articles, journal articles, anything that's written, other blogs written about the subject areas that you are doing Google alerts on, you are apprised of what's happening in the world, from blogs to universities about your area. So you're getting more informed about it. You're using this as a stimulus to write a blog to deliver a service to people who you're interested in providing information for and who you want to develop as potential clients. So So that blog is going to be beneficial as your continuing education and as your marketing piece. And look at how to do a blog that will be read, that will be well received. Look at the how-tos of a blog. Keep it to, you know, a short version of 300 words. That's always a challenge for me because I use that many in a sentence. But also think about one thing that I was thinking about as I heard you describe. Remember that people don't buy methods. They buy
them. Right.
People don't buy how you do stuff.
Right.
People buy
right.
benefits. So the question then is, who do you want to provide those benefits for, and what are the benefits? And remember from our many discussions, if you can keep that to 10 words or less, neuroscience shows that's what we retain and that's what we stick with and understand, is up to 10 words. So keep it clear, brief, simple, and specific, and I think your guys will be off and running about that. So great question and great responses. from our group.
Thank you
anyone
so very much,
wanna,
everybody.
Anybody else want to add anything? Because these are some principles to think about whatever your particular application will be. Anybody else want to add anything? Nora, were you the second person who spoke when Carol spoke?
Yes, I was. Yeah.
We're jumping back in. Super. Anyone else about anything related to this discussion, this topic? Okay, well thanks for bringing that up. What else? Anything else to brainstorm?
Well, hi, Dave. This is Naomi. How are you?
Hey, welcome. How are you?
Good, good, good.
Super. What's going on?
Well, I am working on, and I know our, you know, the
Naomi, life... healthcare coaching, and anything else you want to say?
That's me. Well, I'm trying to look at, you know, just looking at how to make things accessible at different levels. So I know we have, like, the nine-month program. We could, you know, do the life story. And I was looking at if making something that would be, like, maybe 4 weeks, what would you look at as being the most important principles that would make sense to bring out to people just to have something that would be like an initial offering?
Okay, let me ask a couple of questions. I want to be sure I'm answering the right question. When you say the 9 months, what are you referring to specifically?
Well, looking at our in the entire life story program, if
okay,
you take
the 28-week protocol,
the 28-week protocol. Yes.
Okay, so you want something that's shorter and sweeter, like 4 weeks. Now, what is your purpose? Do you want to do something educational? Do you want to do training? What's the purpose of a short version?
The purpose would be really to be like an introduction, because a lot of people don't want to start out with something long term, right, as an initial working with me.
Okay.
So I was looking at something that would be enough to be able to get them maybe results, starting to see results in one area that then they would then go with the longer program.
Okay. I'm going to tell you the question I'm going to come back to you to ask. And
okay.
Emphasize a principle here that you pointed out that I think is essential. So the question
okay.
I'm going to come back to you to ask is, what do you want to do? Do you want to do a brief introduction to a group, or do you want to, you know, have an initial focus for individual clients? What, tell me the framework there. So the principle that Naomi's mentioning is, you begin with some offer. Many, can I get a background noise management? It's picking up all the movement that you're doing. So if you would do a mute, please, if you're doing anything else in the background, if you're hearing this, including running water.
Running water.
Okay. I can go to lecture mode. I'd rather not. But the principle here is that you want to get someone to initially purchase something. And this is from a compilation of different kinds of research, mostly in marketing, but you know, also in the persuasion neurosciences. If somebody buys something, like a $2 ebook, they are way more likely to purchase a second offering from you, but you want the second offering not to do a quantum leap to a $2,500 training or a weekend retreat. You want the next step to be something like you described, like a four-part teleseminar or webinar, and then you go maybe to a workshop, and then maybe to a retreat, and then maybe to a training. But have a plan, a game plan, so that and think about how you have think who's for each of you, who is your very favorite author? Your favorite author who is currently living, let's say. Now, that person, there's a new book announced that is written by your favorite author. What's going to happen next? You're not going to read six reviews. you're going to go on and bam, you've bought that book. That person is great. You do a following. You don't care what that person has written about because you know it's going to be good. You know it's going to sing to you. It's already part of your identity that you read everything he or she has written. You're going to buy it. That's what you want for your products and your services. Someone knows you, trusts you, you're a brand. They have gotten accustomed to you. They have taken on a shared identity because they've read the blogs. They have done some initial aspects of work with you. So this is the question I think that's excellent that I'm getting back to. So the next step would be the next small thing that you do. So if it's a four-part teleseminar, if it's offering a one-hour presentation to a chamber of commerce or, as we were hearing before, to a healthcare service organization that oversees a number of hospice facilities, you do an introduction to your work in that way. When you do your introduction, if it's a one-time deal, then you have your information in front of them. You find out how many people are going to be there, and you have an outline on your letterhead stationery so they take with them the information about how to contact you. You may have a second sheet where you can go into a little bit more detail about one aspect of what you're presenting or talking about in some way, and that allows you to have a whole half of a page, which you won't use fully, but only use a couple of lines to announce your next offering. If it's a group coaching for hospice caregivers, if it's a group coaching for the people who have recently lost a spouse, then, you know, you have an announcement, you have a link that they can go to, and you've pre-selected a number of people. So you are offering in that presentation an introduction of the next step. You will give in that presentation a sample. You'll plant a seed. If you want to develop individual coaching, you'll plant a seed of an example of something from mentor coaching, a vignette that will illustrate a point. Or in the discussion, Q&A part, you will mention something that came up in a group recently of people who are very similar to the people in the audience, and this is what they discovered, and you present that again in a very succinct way. Now, here's a key also, and this rivals my 10 words or less in one succinct sentence. Anytime, and many of you have heard this from me before, the very best preparation that I have had for presentations, for retreats, for workshops is TED Talks by Chris Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
I would recommend getting the CD. It's one CD. It's the book that Chris Anderson, who founded TED, he has written about the very best practices of what makes TED Talks successful and the things to avoid. Before I did a workshop in Boston last year, I listened to that thing two or three times. Anytime I was traveling back and forth in my range, I put it in the CD player. Before I did 1440, the retreat in California, I listened to it again. I got something different every time. I would highly recommend it for any presentation you do because it will make your presentation crisper, more memorable, because he knows how to tell a story. He knows how to teach storytelling as well as anyone other than the mentor coach I used when I made my transition into coaching who specializes in story. And Lisa knows about this guy, too. So I would recommend that. Now, did that begin to answer your question, Naomi, or does anybody else have anything to add to that? In terms of Naomi's question,
I think it answered a little bit of my question.
Well,
so what you're saying
most of my answers do. Go ahead and try again.
Because I think going a little bit deeper in but you described it exactly as what I'm looking for as far as having that initial offering. So I think what you just were sharing about is when I get in front of people, how to make that initial offering. And I guess what I'm really looking for is how would we really, well, I think you kind of answered it maybe in taking out, you say, one of the stories, one of the vignettes from there and using that as part of what would be the most important parts of a program or just being able to go from there to present my program and then getting them to take something that would be shorter. So it's because the only reason I'm looking at shorter is because we're looking at cost, right? Because it would be a much higher price item for them to do the 9 months with me rather than doing something that maybe they could get for $300.
So to clarify, then, you're talking about a program that you present to people who you also would want to coach, but you want to educate them and provide benefit by some program. Is that correct?
Yes.
And this is going to be live or teleseminar or webinar?
Like a group coaching, in a group coaching setting for about 4 weeks.
Now, I use group coaching in a pristine way to indicate a closed group of a fixed number of people, 7, 8, 9 people who are in that group, and it's group coaching, and they meet. Everything's confidential. People don't come in and out. It's not educational. It's coaching for the group, and the group is your client. Now, are you talking about a group that you do education or training with?
I guess I really didn't make that distinction in my head to which one it would be.
It's a beginning distinction, yeah. Because if you do a presentation or training or education, you can't really have somebody begin to expose too much too quick, or, you know, you might have some repercussion from that.
Right, okay.
Group coaching is its own entity, but you're talking about education, so...
I would be talking about educational first.
Again, the best preparation you can do is to develop your platform, your platform through blogs, through every other means, so that you can make a specific offering to a specific group about the benefits that you know they need, so that you can resonate with their challenges. And when you do a presentation, as you mentioned, I think storytelling is one of the very best ways of doing that. Stories, as you know, are how we understand, how we remember. You know, when I've done my workshops and retreats recently, the slides that I show are basically a picture, and the picture will launch a story, and anything that needs to be remembered is on the outline that they have that they'll take with them. So I don't have a whole bunch of words on slides because, you know, everybody who I've ever asked what works the best for a presentation, they'll say no PowerPoint, meaning don't throw a bunch of words.
Right.
So if that's a beginning of an answer to your question, are there any more aspects of that that anyone wants to add? Because I think we're talking about something really important in terms of developing your practices. And remember, I sent you each the kind of the bullet points, the synopsis of the 4 seminars on influence, persuasion, neuromarketing. And remember, a core element is you resonate with the identity of the people who you're engaging and want to benefit. When something fits their identity, the part of the brain that has to do with sense of self lights up, and they're going to listen and they're going to sign on. As you heard before, the neuroeconomics labs show us that somebody makes a purchase decision instantly in their midbrain based on what they identify with. If you show somebody 10 items in sequence and the one that the brain shows that they that fits their identity, that's the one they're going to purchase. Then they move it up to their forebrain to make it make sense, so it's logical and conscious and intellectual, but it occurs in that order. So you want to know, for any group or any person you're thinking about helping, benefiting, doing mentor coaching with, doing presentations, first thing you want to know is what's their challenge. How can you resonate with their challenge? How can you get in their circle? And that's the first part of a story, by the way. The other two parts of the story, the development and the resolution, that's what you do when you get inside the circle. That's what you do when you engage in coaching or further a presentation. Those three components of a story are, I believe, essential and most successful. Remember, a couple of mentor groups ago, and all these are still available by the link that I send when my IT guy puts the recording up. The other ones are accessible. When we talked about using those three components of story, challenge, development, resolution, when you make a recommendation for your coaching services in two or three succinct sentences, you can incorporate those three story components and have, I believe, a significant success in making your professional recommendation about your services to someone. So that's another aspect of the application here.
Well, thank you, Dave.
One other thing that I think is just fascinating, and this was not my idea, but it was the basis of some research by Robert Cialdini. When you say something to someone, it's not what you say that they remember. It's what they say to themselves on the basis of what you said to them that they remember.
Mm-hmm.
You know, think about, this is to everyone, think about how this is applied to you. When somebody tells you something, you may not remember what they said, but you're darn sure going to remember what you said to yourself and how you developed that. You remember the story you said to yourself. And this is, you know, it took me a while to realize that this was valid neuroscience because, you know, my wife is brilliant, and she can do a rendition of a conversation he said, she said from years ago. And I lost every argument because she would ask me, what did you say? And I don't remember what I said. I don't remember what you said, but I remember how I experienced it and what I thought to myself. And it took me years to move the conversation to, I didn't record it that way, but here's what I, you know, that works a little bit of the time, but at least it's not,
it's not a total slam
whatever as a win-loss in terms of that. So, that's important in terms of marketing your practice, in terms of the recommendations you make professionally to someone, to see how they're hearing what you say and the questions they have about that, because they're going to remember that discussion too. And to remember, once again, people don't buy how-to. They don't care about all the things, all the experiences, all the trainings, all the certifications, all the things that you have behind in your experience and behind your name now. They care about what's in it for them. And that's what they're going to take away. So you might as well ask, you know, what are you taking away from this conversation? So you can ask, are there any other questions? So what else? Anybody else have something you'd like to add or ask about anything at all? We're wide open for our last 3 or 4 minutes here. What you got?
This is Carol again. I like what you said, reminding us that even though it seems like counterintuitive or something, but that when we're talking to a prospective person, someone to coach or something like that, really acknowledging their pain points. Because if I, you know, I have learned even in just general conversations one way and another that I have the most successful conversations with people, when I am really listening to them and asking them, you know, tell me more, what is it that makes this hard for you? And I also like what you always have said before when you ask us, you know, to, or remind us to tell the person, think about what's your next best step. What is just one thing you can do? Because so many times I think our the people we're trying to help are so overwhelmed, you know, by their problem that they want to solve everything at once, and reducing it down to what's just one thing that you can do really helps them just take a deep breath and say, oh, okay, I can do one thing. You know, so I always appreciate that.
Yeah, great point. And because what often may look like resistance from a client may simply be that they don't know exactly what the next step is, because we tend
right.
to think about things in an overall, in a global, in a big picture
mm-hmm.
way, and there's no
yep.
way you can do certain things in the big picture. Nobody's ever sat down to write a book. You may sit down and you write a page. If you do that consistently, then in a year, if you do it every day, you have a rough draft of 365 pages. But nobody ever sits down to write a book. So the next thing, the next step is often important. Same way in terms of any habit. Nobody can lose 20 pounds. And if you have a goal of losing 20 pounds, even though you have a kind of a sub-goal of once a week, by week 19, you've had 19 weeks of failure. If you decide you're going to lose a pound a week and look at the system that you do it and defocus on the goal, then by week 19, you've had 19 weeks of success. So guess who's likely to sustain that?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So thank you all very much for all of your energy and input. As always, if I can be of help to you, please let me know. I'll send around the recording of our discussion within a day or so. So if there's anything that I can be of help, don't forget to put your picture information on the registry for individual and corporate referrals. There are some things that are happening that will enhance that site. There, I have a couple of books coming out the beginning of next year, and each will refer to the training and will be directed to the registry. So be sure it's up there. It's a real benefit, and people are finding it useful. So thank you all very much. And I'm here. Let me know. I'll be eager to hear what you guys are up to.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you, Dave.
Bye.
Thanks, Dave. Bye-bye.
Take care, everyone. Bye.